Thank you, Ari. And thanks also, everyone. I saw like a lot of people having to stand up during the subtitles because there's so many of us. We didn't want to turn people away, so thank you very much for those that were patiently accommodating of the screening. I guess, Ari, I guess we spoke probably maybe about 15 months ago initially about this project. You and I had been speaking a lot about the film that you'd made before that was also shot from your home, Dying Under Your Eyes, which was a quite explicit kind of grief work about the life and passing of your father and your kind of relationship to that death. And I was kind of curious to know what you wanted to make next. And now that you've made the thing that you're going to make next, I'm curious to know if the film that you set out to make, the film that you thought you were making, is the film that we've seen tonight.
Hi, everybody. Really nice to be here and screen it for the first time with audiences, and thank you, Mason, for the whole process. So I didn't really know what the film would be. I just sort of, which is always a bad idea, just filmed a lot, and then I came back with tons of footage. And then it was a bit of a process of, I started also painting at the same time a few months ago, went back to painting, and so it was a bit like painting, I guess, the layering and understanding what the film is through the editing process. And but then I think I was telling B, that in the end, when I looked at my initial ideas, it was exactly the same in the end. I just went in a whole kind of massive diversion to get to the same place.
That's interesting, the structure of the your own road trip through the film.
It was interesting. The kernel, the idea was there, but I really didn't know what it was. And for a long time, I kind of resisted, had a lot of resistance, as you might remember, Mason, to the even finishing the film, and because I just really didn't know what it was. And then I did, and and then it became more structured around the four episodes. And initially, I was, because I've been writing for a while about my sort of family ancestry in Jerusalem, from in the old city, in the Muslim quarter, for many generations. And I was going to write about that more, and I was going to focus on that more. But then in the end, it just kind of felt like, when I start thinking about, I mean, the reason I started thinking about the roads was because when I was thinking about my childhood in Jerusalem, I remember that I was actually kidnapped myself for about 3 hours in a car. So that was really the starting point. And then
you relate that. There's kind of part of the text that relates to that experience, because there's quite slippery kind of eyes and yous and and kind of collectives pass in and out. But there is this kind of grounded voice which phases in and out of being you, phases in and out of your own biography. And this, I guess, this kind of this hostage-taking experience is both yours and also one of the Palestinian journalists that you were talking about. They collapse into one another.
Yeah, so we had this conversation when I was kind of spending some time with a Palestinian photojournalist, and we just had this conversation, and I mentioned about being kidnapped, and then they kind of told this story about being kidnapped and about the British journalist friend who was kind of shaking for 4 days, and they said, I was fine, it's just another day in Palestine. And the kidnapping happened in Scotland, and then they realised that it was the news agent that they work for that orchestrated it. It wasn't real, it was just training for hostile environment. But when we talked about it, it was like a funny conversation. And this is what the kind of the film a little bit touches on, that when you meet people and you talk, you actually do laugh. And then I told them about my experience, and then there was an American person who spoke about their hostile environment, and then we talked about kind of, can you really compare these traumas, and in terms of the Palestinian photojournalist and the American. The stories are kind of interchangeable. And at some point, the kidnapping just became this metaphor for the sort of inability or the struggle to self-actualize when you're kind of sort of literally locked in a door in a checkpoint on the road.
I mean, you describe in that moment in the film kind of humor as a way out of it, or like a kind of like being in your own head, or kind of joking your way through it. And it's really interesting how kind of, I guess there's a couple of stand-up comedy moments in the film that pepper through it, but then there's also kind of these day-to-day conversations that are absurdist. They lean into humor, but they're kind of intrinsically also unfunny. I think that there's this kind of touching, you know, I guess the point of humor is always to kind of ridicule the most painful parts.
Yeah, the Eddie Izzard, the Dark Vader one, was again something that we watched with a Palestinian photojournalist for a long time. We watched different clips and just laughing our heads off, and it is a kind of a release, but obviously it has a very short life, and then real life starts again. And the Elon Musk one just never fails to make me laugh. It's really funny. It's so funny.
I mean, otherwise you just cry. I mean, to kind of go back to, I guess, those early stages of where you were thinking through the film, it's really interesting to hear that you ended up accidentally, unknowingly making the film that you wanted to make. That in itself is a joke somewhere. But I remember one of the first things that you said to me was that you said that you wanted to kind of make a film about where you're from, to try and understand that. And you said that the problem with Israel is that when you turn a camera on it, it just turns into cinema. That there's like a kind of there's this ineluctable kind of beauty or cinematic quality to the landscape. But of course, you know, when you describe it as cinema, that's also about a kind of fiction, you know, and cinema also in relation to like road movies, slacker movies, comedy movies, like the that movement through, like the family movie. I'm kind of curious if how that felt then to kind of go there and film. I guess you were filming primarily from cars, which themselves have their own kind of vista.
Absolutely. Yeah, very dirty cars with very dirty windows. I just filmed with my iPhone. But yeah, the region is seductive and beautiful. So yeah, everything looks a bit like National Geographic promotion video or something. So it's something to kind of work with and against. I was just kind of doing it in different ways.
But it's also really hard to make a film of a road, right?
It's really hard. Really, really hard. It seems easy, but actually trying to kind of capture a road is really difficult. Where it starts, where it ends, where it goes, what happens. It's like, I didn't realize how difficult it was, especially Road 60, the tunnel road, which looks like public sculpture. It looks like a giant kind of monument, which actually really difficult to document. So I documented it with camera people from Bejala, from the West Bank side, and then from Gilo, from the Jewish-Israeli side.
I mean, it's also like the tunnel appears upside down, and in relation to Elon Musk talking about, well, not talking about space, but being described as going into space. So there's this kind of underground, overground. I guess maybe what I'm kind of pointing to is the ways in which, like, you can't really image infrastructure, or especially infrastructure that tries to hide or hides other things. I mean, maybe you can speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, it's the complex structures are quite they're hard to capture, and also there's an kind of an atmosphere. I mean, everywhere we go, there's an atmosphere, and those kind of areas, are, like I said, are particularly cinematic, and it's very very hard to kind of transfer this kind of atmosphere. Anybody who's been there probably knows what I'm talking about. To a screen, so it was kind of working with the sound a lot and just the editing. Yeah.
Were there certain things that you knew that you wanted to kind of capture? Like, I mean, you kind of see the Dead Sea salt factories quite early on, these huge kind of like industrial extraction machines that are in the desert, which I guess have paid for in some ways or participate in the usefulness of the roads as a kind of import-export structure, but then also kind of these sinkholes pop up in the desert, almost as a kind of form of a reactive form in relation to that kind of land extraction. Yeah. But then there's other things that you take in, you know, I guess the kind of the mouth of the tunnel, and then, you know, I think later on you'd kind of drive through this strict Orthodox neighborhood. Like, maybe you could talk a little bit about what you happened upon and what actually you kind of went out to seek, like, because I guess those are very different ways of viewing, like one's kind of a browsing mode and one's a kind of search mode, not to kind of get too computery about it, but.
Yeah, it's exactly that. I did a lot of research into the roads that I wanted to cover, and obviously having the privilege of being able to drive and just drive with people through this road, and I think just because I was driving so much I was able to catch certain things like this kind of march parade of the strict Orthodox Jews, or that day of the elections where all the flags were in, which was a complete fluke to just catch it that day because the next day it wasn't there. And at the heart of Jerusalem, to have that kind of proliferation of Palestinian flags and paraphernalia was just incredible.
And these are flags that are placed there by the, like, the Orthodox community?
Yeah, by the residents who live there, yeah. By the anti-Zionist sects. And some of the graffitis are much more extreme. I just didn't put them in, but I just put the "Damn you, Zionist, your end is coming soon." But, yeah, they're quite extreme graffitis there as well. So, yeah, that was a fluke, but I think it happened just because it was moving so much all the time. But then Road 90, I knew that I'm going to cover that, the desert road, because that kind of symbolizes the Zionist project at large. Road 60, the tunnel road, and 4370, I knew because of they'd just been expanded in the last couple of years. And then when when they did the research, they found out that he's part of a larger project until 2045, those segregation roads. The army road, and it's kind of, there is a trajectory from kind of the early Zionism to my army service to kind of the infrastructural project of Israel and then into the question of what is a Jew.
I think there's like this kind of really interesting interweaving, I suppose, of your own biography of there. I mean, there are, I guess there's photographs of you. You appear in the film. Your parents appear in the film. There's numerous family members that kind of pop up in various ways, as well as other figures. And I guess I'm kind of interested in this, like, this I and you that feels that, I guess at times it feels like that there's proxies or there's different perspectives or proliferating ways of being, but it's really kind of seated in this this personal movement or like personal road movie back through. And then there's a kind of stage that feels quite different from that, which I guess it feels different because it's not in and around Jerusalem, it's actually in Berlin. That's a very different section, but you kind of, it relates back to the land that you're filming in Jerusalem. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that space in Berlin, how you kind of came to it, and that section.
How did I come to it? Susa is here. You told me about it, no? Yeah, so Susa, a curator at the back, she was telling me about this farm. And yeah, we actually went there on Monday. I don't know if there's anybody here from the collective. Anyone? Yeah. Oh, yeah, there you are. Yeah, I don't know, what did you think?
Welcome, Levine.
Yeah, welcome. So, yeah, I wanted to mention it, and I wanted to mention Om Suleiman in the West Bank as two kind of two forms of collectivity around farming and kind of histories that sort of that kind of meet and don't meet as well.
The other thing that was kind of interesting about, I guess, showing it here was Nicholas, who worked on, he's here and worked on this, yeah, this project, presenting it tonight, brought this catalogue to me, a Cave exhibition catalogue from 2003, and it was the book for an exhibition here by Anselm Frank, amongst other curators, called Territories. I'm not sure if maybe some people in the audience might remember that show. I didn't, and I knew nothing about it, and it was kind of amazing because the front cover of that book is the road that appears in your film, and a lot of the images that were featured as part of that book and also shown in the exhibition itself are exactly about the nascent infrastructure projects of kind of place and space and these new territories that were being built in 2003. And we're here kind of nearly 20 years on. And as we were installing this work, the AV technician, Marcus Krieger, he was like, oh yes, I remember this show, I installed it. So there's kind of funny continuities that occur, and it's really interesting to me that as an institution, Kunstwerke has been kind of, showing elements of these kind of researchers' projects for some time. I mean, it's a very different space now. I think that the way that you talked about kind of going back to Israel is obviously informed by your own biography as opposed to like a necessary political project. But I mean, I guess we end still on the road in the film in some senses.
Yeah, definitely, because, yeah, this project was, I didn't know about it until I came here. Territory, this exhibition was here, like Mason said, 2003, so 20 years on. There was one tunnel and one bridge, and now there's a kind of, we've seen an expansion of that, and then we hear that it will go till 2045, so it's another kind of however many years, so absolutely, it's a road, it's a selfish road.
I want to open it up if there's any kind of questions in the audience. There's a roving mic. Raise your hand and I'll just kind of like peer out into the pink and purple landscape and a microphone will just magically arrive. But while I wait for a question to appear, I mean, one of the things that I realized as I was watching this film that maybe I didn't kind of notice so much before was how much it feels like at points like a simulation. It really, there's something about like the disembodied like camera, that kind of like, particularly like at the beginning when you kind of go to this Gujarat's fourth way, like architecture in the middle of the desert, it's super trippy. But then also just even yourself as you kind of go in, you know, you kind of off-road, there's like this quality that feels unreal. I mean, I guess this touches back on this issue of cinema. Mm. I mean, is that unreality, to what extent is that kind of your relationship with home, and what is that there that is just being picked up by the camera on a documentary level? I'm interested in this like position of like an aesthetic analysis of space and a kind of documentary mode, these two things kind of colliding.
Yeah, I think it's a bit like we said before, it's, I think when you're there, there is a strong feeling of that is not real. And I think the real events, the kind of the atrocities that are happening, kind of superseding any language. So I think the language, whether it's kind of written language, spoken or cinematic, are kind of trying to catch up to articulate what's happening. I didn't want to make a film where kind of direct violence is shown, more like infrastructural violence. But yeah, there's a kind of you can never catch up with really what's happening, and I guess that kind of sense is like, how much worse can it get? Is very much present. Yeah.
Any questions? Oh, there is a hand. Thank you, hand.
Thank you so much. It was really deeply touching and a very beautiful film.
Thanks, Rune.
You refer to your childhood, there are references to your family, and I was just wondering, how has your experience and your view or your perspective on these spaces that you show changed from your childhood and up until now?
Yeah, this is a really good question. I have to say that although my kind of politics were always clear to me, and they tend to be quite fixed, making the film just really, really helped me to have almost to resolve this thing around belonging and like this question, how can I earn something where it's stolen? It's like I was born there, but it's not mine. So what do I do with this kind of sense of rootness and belonging and this huge discomfort around, and I think one of the main human conditions is to feel part of something, to feel like you belong. And what do you do when you just, when you can't or when you don't? And I imagine people feel that many parts of the world, not just there, but so it's kind of really helped me, and I feel a huge relief in a sense. I feel like I can move on from that kind of, this sort of sense of always looking for something and kind of looking for a home and always looking for something and kind of really understanding that my belonging is exactly there, is in the resistance, in the anger, in the grief, in the not belonging, and that other people feel like me. And so it's really helped a lot in that way.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate all of the work that we've kind of done together, and also the presentation tonight. Oh, there is. Great.
Oh. Hi, Ori. Thank you for the film and for your comments afterwards. It's been very moving. And just based on what you said, I was wondering if you could talk to the title, because Selfish Road seems to be... I just want to hear what you want to say about it.
It's just when in the clip, the fan footage, when it say like "stay here," I just thought this is really selfish. So then, and it's a road, so it's a selfish road.
Maybe in addition to this question, I have a very basic question that I would be interested in. How did the figure of the road become this protagonist in your film? Like, when did it come up in your research? Was it there from the beginning, or when did it become this prism that reflects all the topics that you are addressing?
The road. Yes, because the road is a protagonist. Yeah. So there's a sentence there saying, "I rode 90, didn't choose that." And at some point, it kind of started to feel like the roads are speaking to me rather than me speaking about the roads. It's really kind of started when, as I mentioned, when I started to think about this kidnapping incident. And then there were few other things that happened to me. I mean, I also did a kind of an act of revenge on the road when I was a teenager, this kind of strip show where in a really dangerous road, and kind of got sick of driver looking at my tits when I was a teenager. So I thought, I'll just strip, and then they'll kind of, you know, they'll have a car accident, and that's a revenge, you know. So I did that as well. I mean, nothing happened, and I wouldn't do it now, but I did it. I was a teenager, very angry, kind of. Also, by becoming a woman, I was resenting that as well. So, yeah, a few things happen on the roads, and I was wondering how to portray that. And then I very quickly realized that it's much bigger than me or my story, that these roads hold so many stories. And yeah, then it was, how do you begin to even frame that? But also the Zionist project is so much, it's part of it, it's so infrastructural, and the road's a big part of it, just because it's very visual and material, the way they affect the landscape and the way they affect the kind of the politics of the roads and the violence of the roads.
Hi. I was wondering whether you could tell us a little bit about the choice of music in the film.
I didn't see who asked that, but I was... oh, hi. Yeah. So yeah, I worked with Simon Meheke on my other film as well, about my dad. So Simon and I just really, really connect. And yeah, we just looked at it, we looked at the footage, and some of it is music that he already had, but mostly it's music that he wrote for the film, and I just absolutely loved our conversations and his kind of real understanding of, like, really honing into the feeling of what I wanted to do. And like in this kind of the strict Orthodox Jewish neighborhood, he put these whistles, which were just spot on, I thought, just kind of in the background. And just there's some touches that he does that underneath the music that just give that kind of feeling, that kind of uncomfortable, being watched all the time, waiting for something, control, I guess, real sense of deep control, invisible control, technological control. So he does that a lot with the music, but he also has a really good kind of sense for... We talked a lot about folk music in the Western, so I think this part of the desert road where it's almost like a Western, the music. And obviously that's kind of... I mean, many times Israel and Palestine have been described as kind of as a Western, and again, the cacti kind of brought into, they're not indigenous, they're brought into the land. And then there's tons of sound effects, there's like 40 channels or something. So working with Alfredo was to create this kind of more, again, structure of sound. So there's a lot of kind of diggers working and just really different kind of, again, layers of sound underneath it all that also get this kind of this feeling of endless construction project, and kind of, yeah, everything has been dug underneath, so there's that as well.
I was wondering, hello, the process of filming, because you did the filming. And I get the feeling of an endless road construction work, and I get like, oh God, I'm dying already. And I wonder how you survived to do that. I mean, like, in the process of filming, it's really an intense thing to do it yourself. How did you organize yourself in this making, and to decide you do it yourself, the filming? Yeah.
So it was kind of also budget stuff that... It's a kind of fairly low budget film, so I knew I'm never going to have a crew. So I was just with my phone. And yeah, you kind of just drive and drive and drive and just sort of hold your phone. And then the tunnel road, like I said, has... this is kind of filmed with huge lenses. I mean, it's just you can't do it with an iPhone or with any kind of smartphone. And this has more reportage, more like news feel about them, because it was filmed by, yeah, photojournalists. So I guess that was more structured. And that was more like, we actually filmed quite a long, like almost 5 minutes of each kind of point in the road. Trying to be quiet, but never quiet. Just kind of talking. And this is why the sound was so much work, because we had to kind of clean the sound and put, like, you know, ambient sound. And yeah, we just couldn't, yeah, we couldn't be, we were not very professional about it. It was more important to talk and to understand what's going on there. Yeah, so this is how, you know, and I guess the tricky part is to do with just being, and maybe other people feel that, just when you go home to your family, it's not comfortable, to put mildly, yeah. So, and especially when kind of politics are clashing and all that kind of stuff, so... yeah, so... Sorry? Yeah, all the editing, which was really, honestly, weeks and months and months, just because I had so much footage. Yeah, so it was, I'd say, about 6 weeks of filming, which is crazy. 6 weeks of filming in Palestine, Israel.
Maybe this is a good point to refresh our glasses and take a break, and thank Ari Ashri for this evening. Thank you so much.